Good morning to you. Hope you all had a good Thanksgiving and a good time to be with family and good time to, I think, the kids to be out of school and everything. And I know many are going back, obviously, this week. One of my younger sons this past week, my youngest son, Grayson, he said, "Dad, I want to tell you a joke." I thought, uh-oh, sometimes these can get interesting. I said, "Okay, tell me a joke." He said, "Will you remember me 7 seconds from now?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll remember you 7 seconds from now." Then he said, "Will you remember me 7 minutes from now?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll remember you 7 minutes from now." And he said, "Will you remember me 7 weeks from now?" And I said, "Yes, I'll remember you 7 weeks from now." And then he said, "Will you remember me 7 months from now?" And I said, "Yes, I'll remember you 7 months from now." And then he said, "Knock, knock." I didn't say who was there, but he's like, "Oh, you're supposed to say who was there." And he said, "I thought you would remember me," and everything, right? Well, remembering is something that I think we need to do when it comes to the concept of thankfulness. Thanksgiving may be over, but thankfulness is something that I think as a Christian should be a habit in our lives, although at times it's not the easiest thing to do, and I'll be the first to admit that. Have you ever just gone through the Bible in your own personal study time and done a word search? I kind of want to do that with you this morning at an abbreviated degree. When it comes to the word in the New Testament, and there are several Greek words, technically speaking, we're just going to follow the word thanks, thanksgiving, thankfulness. Do it sometimes. You'll find the Bible mentions that word in its various forms numerous times in the New Testament, and I think we should pay attention to it from the perspective of God is implicitly telling us how to give thanks, why to give thanks, or what to be thankful for in our lives as Christians. The Apostle Paul in particular, who I want to consider this morning, he wrote 13 of the 27 letters of the New Testament. And of those 13, I want to think about the times that Paul personally gave thanks. Consider three concepts in his life. Paul, number one, we're going to talk about, gave thanks for others in his life. Paul, number two, when he used the word thanks or thankfulness, gave thanks for God's blessings in his life, in particular the spiritual blessings. And Paul, number three, also teaches us, as we'll see, that thankfulness overall for a Christian is simply a way of living. Let's look at the first one, shall we? When the Apostle Paul gave thanks, one of the things he noted, it was for other people in his life. For example, Paul gave thanks for some people becoming Christians in his life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or chapter 2, rather, in verse 13, the Bible says, Paul says that we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is, in truth, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Paul, in other words, at the very outset, was thankful for other people in his life. And one of the very basic things he gave thanks to God about was the fact that some people became Christians. In other words, Paul here in this text, notice, is not thanking them for following Jesus because their parents followed Jesus. He's not thanking them that, hey, you've decided to become a Christian so you can please someone. He's not thanking them because they decided to follow Jesus because that was the popular thing to do. Rather, he was thanking them and giving thanks to God because when they heard the preaching of the gospel, notice, they knew it was an actual word of God, a message from God. Church, I don't know about you, but that's a wonderful thing to consider if you think about it. For someone to come to know, as you and I know, that, hey, there is a God. For someone to come to know, as you and I know, that this man Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago, was more than just a man, but he was actually the Messiah that is foretold by the Old Testament prophets, and that his resurrection from the dead was not some kind of made-up mythical story by his apostles or his followers, but in fact, for a period, according to Acts chapter 1, for 40 days, Jesus presented himself alive with many infallible proofs. That's an amazing thing. That you believe what I believe, and what we believe is something that will forever change our lives here, now, but also in eternity. And to hear any time somebody becomes a Christian, that's a source of encouragement, isn't it? And it's a reason to give thanks to God. Let me tell you something else, though. Paul also gave thanks for others in oftentimes the example that they lived in their lives. You know, there's a sense here where, and Paul almost opens up every letter in the New Testament giving thanks to God for the church he's writing to. I'll give you an example. I don't have this in the overhead, but you know, one of the most troubled churches in the New Testament that we know more about is the church at Corinth. I mean, think the whole letter of 1 Corinthians is primarily dealing with problem after problem after problem of the church at Corinth. I mean, I'm talking serious division in chapter 1, serious carnality and worldly thinking in chapter 2 and 3, right? You get to chapter 5 and you've got the problem of sexual immorality and a lack of church discipline. Chapter 6, you've got them taking one another to court, basically. Chapter 7, you got some serious marriage issues there with withholding sexual affection and other issues in regard to marriage. Chapter 8, you know, you've got the more mature brethren basically insulting and, you know, and harming the weaker brethren. You know, chapter 10, you've got brethren worshiping in the temple of idols and taking part in that. You know, chapter 11, 12, and 13, you've got abuses of the Lord's Supper. You've got spiritual gifts that are being abused that God gave them. You know, you've got issues of envy. You've got issues in the worship service. I mean, you go on and on and on. And there's just so many problems with the church at Corinth. And it's kind of one of those churches that, you know, today a lot of preachers would say, I don't want nothing to do with that church. Look, they got all these problems. I don't want to go there, right? Yet Paul still opens up the letter of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, and he says, I thank my God always concerning you. In other words, what I want you to think about for a moment is Paul looked and was observant of things to be thankful for in the lives of other Christians in spite of a lot of the problems that they had. And if he can do that, why can't we? And so Paul oftentimes was thankful for the example of others, for the faith of others, like the church at Rome. As you look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, their faith was known through the entire world. Or how about in the sense of the example of others and their willingness to suffer for Christ? You know, he closes out the Roman letter, Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 4, when he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Who's that? That's a married couple there. Why? My fellow workers in Christ Jesus who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. What is he saying there? Here's a married couple who has suffered for Christ, who has put their lives literally on the line for the cause of Christ and for Paul personally. And they've endured much for Jesus. You know, I've known preachers in my years of ministry that I admire. And I admire because of them still being a faithful preacher in spite of the adversity that they faced in their lives. I've known preachers to be fired from churches because they teach adultery is a sin, which sadly some churches don't teach that anymore, essentially, okay? It's almost forgotten, you know? And I've known preachers to be fired for taking a stance of what the Bible teaches, for instance, in Matthew 19:9. I've known preachers who have either been forced out or have left churches because These churches want to bring in new worship innovations that the Bible does not, I don't think, authorizes. And so, you know, it's time to go. I've known preachers to be called all kinds of hurtful, mean things online and in person, and yet still respond with love. What is that? I'm telling you, you know, we need to look at the examples of others in their life and give thanks to God of how we can imitate that. Number three, before we move on to the next point, Paul gave thanks for others in regard to their personal treatment towards him. So think about this, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing because there's a lot more things that Paul wrote about others and being thankful to others, by the way. But one of the things Paul noted is when he wrote to the church at Philippi, he gave thanks to God and he thanked God in his prayers towards them. Why? Because of their partnership or fellowship with him in the gospel. What's he saying there? Fellowship and partnership is kind of like a team effort. Paul was a traveling missionary. The church at Philippi helped him in his travels. Multiple times throughout Paul's ministry, they gave Paul a place to stay, as you look at Acts chapter 16. When you go to Philippians chapter 2, they sent him, while he was in prison, a personal assistant named Epaphroditus. While Paul could leave the prison cells of Rome, Epaphroditus could be his assistant who would go back and forth and help Paul out with whatever he needed. They sent Paul money. They sent Paul other essential items during his times of trouble, right? Paul never forgot that. Paul says, I thank God for you always for how you helped me out. What about us today? You know, anytime someone does an act of kindness towards us, it doesn't hurt to say the words, thanks, or thank you. A couple weeks ago, when my two younger boys, I took them trick-or-treating, and one of the things I emphasized, and not that I'm a perfect dad and they're perfect kids, is every time somebody gives you a piece of candy, I don't care if it's a terrible piece of candy, because there are terrible pieces of candy out there, let's admit it, right? Sugar-free and, you know, all that stuff. You know. You say thanks. You say thank you. Why? Because I believe that if we can recognize, and not just out of some vain repetition, to sincerely say thanks in the little things, we'll definitely be thankful for the bigger things. Thankfulness, in other words, is a habit. And, you know, maybe we can all say we can do a better job of this, but how many times do people do something good for us on a weekly basis, on a daily basis? How many cards you get on your birthday? How many gifts you get around Christmas time? How many messages of support do you receive in difficult times? Say thanks. That's what Paul did. Paul, whenever someone did something good for him, he always said thanks. Number two, let's consider another thing from Paul's life. His blessings ultimately from God. Now, I only want to give two right now, but there are so much more. But when you think of Paul and him writing about spiritual blessings, one of the things that Paul said or Paul taught was he gave thanks to God for our freedom from sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." What's he saying there? He's giving thanks to God that sin no longer can have a rule or reign in our lives when we obey from the heart to follow Jesus. You know, this year, or I think it was last year, the Major League Soccer League in the United States, the MLS, brought in about $2 billion. I think it was last year the NBA brought in their annual revenue about $11.3 billion. That's a lot of money, right? But listen to this. Globally, the pornography industry brings in about $28 billion annually. The alcohol industry in America alone brings in about $300 billion annually. And even though it's kind of hard to track, some estimate annually, illegal drugs in the United States is about $150 billion industry. And what's my point? Not always is this the case, but sometimes what we buy is often what we're addicted to. Where our money goes sometimes could show us where our idols are. Now again, that's not always the case, you know. You need a pair of shoes, you go buy a pair of shoes. That doesn't mean you're addicted to them, but as a Christian, can you imagine if the majority of the population in the United States were Christian, how much annually would the pornography industry be making? How many alcohol companies would go bankrupt? Wouldn't that be a blessing? I believe it would be. Why? Because in Jesus Christ, you and I give thanks to God that we do not have to be ruled by any sin in our life anymore. Why? Because in Christ, there is freedom and there is forgiveness of sin. In Christ, by the way, there is victory in Jesus. In fact, the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and particularly verse 57 there, as you have on the overhead there. Notice, but thanks be to God, Paul said, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's talking about in context? The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the reality that we all will face of death. You know, it's an undeniable fact that we're all going to die. It is possible, I guess, we could eat bran muffins and be healthier and maybe live a little longer. That's true. I'm not knocking that. But even if you ate bran muffins and even if you were healthy as much as you can be and lived to be over 100, you're still going to die. You're not going to make it to 200 probably. We're all going to die. And you know, one of the things I've noticed recently, by the way, this year in particular has been a hard year for a lot of people I know. Whether it be the threat of death, you know, serious health problems, health scares, or whether it be people around you, close to you, passing away, this has been a hard year for a lot of people. It really has. We've lost a lot here in the congregation this year, sadly. But you know something? In the midst of that hardship, Paul says, thanks be to God for the victory we have in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus died for our sins and he rose from the dead as his disciples. Guess what? We will rise again also. Death no longer, as you look at verse 56, 1 Corinthians 15, has its sting and has its power. It doesn't have it anymore. Why? Because of Jesus. And of all the spiritual blessings that Paul talks about, this one is a hope and a joy that cannot be taken away. Finally, the third one, and then we're going to close out. Paul was a man, as you look at his writings, and it's obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit, was a man who, overall, I think we can see, gave thanks, but his thankfulness was ultimately, for instance, a way of life. I want to give you a few passages this morning, and then we're going to close out with this final point. For instance, Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4 that our speech should ultimately reflect a way, an overall way of thankfulness in our life. Let me give you go to Ephesians chapter 5. In context, Paul is saying, imitate God. In verse 8, he was saying, be children of light. So in context, he's saying, here's something you should do. Here's a way you should live. You should live as a person who's walking in light, as a shining light to others. And the way you do that, according to at verse 1, is being imitators of God. And one of the things he says in regard to that also is in verse 4, when the Bible says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. What is he saying there? We'll go back to look at verse 3. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for the saints. What else is fitting for the saints? The way we talk. Verse 4. The words that we say. And for instance, the words that we say, filthiness or obscenity, what is that? That's specifically saying in how we talk specifically to vulgar, sexually immoral talk. As Christians, he says, we don't talk that way. Or foolish talk. What does it mean? Foolish talking is revealing the life of a fool, and it's not being educational necessarily in this verse, but rather just an overall godlessness in the way we live our lives. Foolishness talk, in other words, reveals the heart in the sense of somebody who doesn't live for God. What would that be? Well, I mean, that could be cursing. That could be foul language. That could be just be constantly complaining. That could just be constantly having greed in our heart, in our mind. That's foolish talk overall here. And then there's coarse joking or coarse jesting, depending on what translation you have. And what is that? That's any kind of joke that's not appropriate for Christians to say. You understand that? So what's Paul saying? Here's some things in how we talk. Here's how we don't talk. But in contrast of how a Christian should not talk, he says, in contrast, notice, but rather giving of thanks. What he's saying there? Hey, as a Christian, God wants us in our everyday conversation to reveal that we are thankful. In other words, again, implied here, our speech, God is telling us, is to reveal that thankfulness is a habit. Thankfulness is an overall way of life. Now, drop down and look at verse 20 in Ephesians chapter 5, because he notes it again in the context of walking in the light, being children of God's light. The Bible also says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying there? Think about this for a moment. Giving thanks to God for what? Well, notice there's a time frame here. Always, right? And there's also a general and yet also specific circumstance in all things. So always in all things means in every situation in life we give thanks to God for. Now that may require some reflection, shouldn't it? We give thanks to God in the good times. Why? Because he's blessed us with those good times. But then we also give thanks for God in the bad times. Why? Because the good that can come during the bad times. We give thanks to God for doing right. Why? Not because we should pat ourselves on the back and be filled with pride, but the fact that God has enabled us or has given us the ability to do right and has revealed us the way to do right. Anytime we do the right thing, we give God thanks that he's taught me how to do the right thing. We give God thanks that somebody in our life, our parents, a teacher, a preacher, or whoever has helped us and taught us how to do the right thing in life, right? We give thanks to God when we do wrong. Why? Because his word reveals that wrong on how to be right. And we give thanks to God that we can do right. We can repent of sin, in other words. Or how about we give thanks for God for hard times? Because why? It's in the hard times that our faith is made stronger. It's in times of plenty and prosperity, as we've noted in previous lessons. We give thanks to God because he's blessed us with it. But it's in times of poverty and problems. We give thanks to God. Why? Because there's probably a purpose behind it. We may not know in the moment, but after we walk out of that tunnel, or we walk out of that valley, we see all the good that resulted from it. So Paul is saying that being thankful is something we reveal in our speech. It's something that is a way of life. It is also something as a Christian of how we replace the anxiety in our hearts. Flip over with me to Philippians chapter 4. Because the Bible says there in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Now that's the word merimnao in the Greek. It's the word worry. You ever worry? sometimes we'll do a word study on that. It's not always wrong to be anxious or to worry, according to 2 Corinthians 11, by the way. There's nothing wrong with being troubled for the souls of others, for example. But an overall way of life, sometimes people just live on worry. Every day is filled with anxiety and fear. And God didn't call us as Christians to live that way. So you know what Paul says? He says, stop worrying, stop being anxious. How do I do that? And when I find myself in that situation, what do? I go to God in prayer, verse 6 says. And one of the things in prayer is their supplication. Well, what is that? A supplication is kind of the idea of revealing your problems to God. But in connection to, in other words, talking to God about what's troubling us, or what we're worried about, he also says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Try it sometime. You're ever awake at 3 a.m. and you're troubled, because oftentimes when we wake up at 3 a.m., something is bothering us. Try it. Try this. Go to God in prayer and start giving Him thanks of all the blessings in your life. It's better than counting sheep. You know? You'll find that that anxious heart will be one, as you look at verse 7, is one of peace. Why? Because I'm going to tell you something. A thankful heart and a constantly anxious heart don't grow together. And one way to overcome worry, by the way, is through prayer, but specifically through prayers of thankfulness. I can go on. I mean, there is so many other things to consider when we consider the concept of thankfulness. It is a way of life. It is, you know, as we reflect on our faith, according to Colossians 2, 7, we give thanks. You know, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you know what it says, though, right after that? It says, giving thanks. Notice this. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In other words, God says, as we go about our lives as Christians, everything we do under the authority of Jesus. We do, that's the idea of in the name of Jesus, we do under His authority. But as we seek to do what God wants us to do, we also, at the same time, do it with the heart of thankfulness to God. So hopefully you begin to see, in other words, that thankfulness over and over and over again is a trait that God commands us to have, just like love. It's a trait that God commands us to have, just like mercy or compassion or kindness. And it's more than just the month of November, in other words. When you study that word of thankfulness, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know another man in the Bible, an apostle at least, who endured more for Jesus than the Apostle Paul. You can read Paul's writings and you'll find out everything he went through. He went through so many things of times of poverty, persecution, prison, eventually death, right? And in all of that, by the way, the thing that is so admirable about the Apostle Paul is never one time do you find Paul feeling sorry for himself or claiming himself as a victim as we have in our society today. It's almost like the more traits you have, the more victim things you have, the more special privilege you think you deserve and everything. Paul had all of these horrible things going wrong with him in his life because of the fact that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he didn't make himself a victim in any way. He wasn't a man, because he was constantly done wrong, was filled with anger and bitterness. Why? I believe one of the reasons why he was so joyous all the time was because he was always thankful. No matter what his circumstances were, no matter what he was going through, Paul because of God's grace and God's goodness, always expressed his thankfulness. You know, this morning, if you're here and you have a thankful heart for what Jesus has done for you and done for me, and maybe it's the day that you decide to become one of his followers, I hope that's the day if you're not a disciple of Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a follower of Christ, but you need the prayers of the church and you need some kind of help. But I really hope you'll consider that to be thankful is something hopefully we strive to experience each day. But to be thankful specifically towards God, I think you'll find that it may reform or transform your life. That's one of the key things we see with the Apostle Paul. If you need to respond in any way, why don't you come as we stand and sing?